Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to approach your word. Father, I pray that everyone's heart is open to receive. And Father, I thank you so much that every day my mind is renewed. Father, though my outward man gets older and perishes, yet my inward man is renewed day by day. And so, Father, I ask that as I share with your people today the things that you've shown me, may they grasp it and run with it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Well, I wanted to go on to something a little different, but the Lord said, I want you to go over these issues that I'm showing you. And he showed me some of the important issues. And evidently, when the Lord moves on me like that, there's a reason for it. And, how we're changed is through the washing of the water of the Word. And you can't just be watered one time and expect that seed to grow. It needs to be rewatered and rewatered and rewatered. And so there's always something that I'm striving further to clarify or to make things simpler. And of the great values of the Word of God and the truths that they represent. Did we hand you out the sheet that John Cook did a wonderful job of typing up? Did you guys get this sheet about what makes the heart? Did you guys get that sheet? All of you? Good. I'm glad that you did. I hope you brought it. Praise the Lord. If you didn't, that's okay. I'll be reading from it anyway. But we're going to talk about the subject again of the heart. So if you will, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I want to finish this off capitalizing on some things about what makes up the heart, why the heart is so important. Our heart is the area through which the entire kingdom of God works through. And we can't get away from that according to the Word of God. That's very obvious. And so I thought it was very interesting as we've been studying the issues of the heart in Proverbs chapter 4. As we read this particular venue of the issue of the heart, it brings us a lot of insight. First of all, let's start at verse 18. But the path of the just is like shining light that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you, and let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. And do not turn to the right or the left, and remove your foot from evil. Now, these verses that we read all pertain to the issue of the heart. And there's been a lot of religious statements made, and they've came up through the body of Christ, certainly not through the Word of God. And people have always fallen back on using the issue of the heart as an excuse for why they're not performing like they should be performing once they become a believer. And they say, yes, I know what I should do and what I'm not doing, but God knows my heart. Well, I always thought that the word heart and the word spirit were one and the same. And I found out that it's obviously that they're not. And then, so I began to really search scriptures of God's word. Well, what makes up the heart? And I began to realize that the Bible's very clear on what makes up the heart. But let's look at these verses. This is very interesting. First of all, he says that the path of the righteous has more light given to it. But the way of the wicked, it's darkness, and they don't know why they're stumbling. Isn't that interesting? And so it's making a statement that if you're the righteous and the entrance of his word giveth light, the further down the road that you walk with him, the more bright the path becomes. It doesn't get darker, it gets lighter. And it begins to expose everything that would cause you to stumble. But the way of the wicked are not so, because what they'll do is they'll continue to walk in their darkness and stumble, and they want to know why they're stumbling. I've thought it very sad when I've seen believers come into the kingdom of God and fall backwards. And then I've seen their life go into tragedy. And then they turn back to God, and they come, and God will give them a word. God will work with them. You know, God never gives up on anybody. You know, he'll stick with you until you quit breathing. That's the love of God. But by gosh, they'll go right back out and walk the way of the wicked and stumble again and want to know why. Well, they blame it on the devil. He's trying to ruin me and destroy me. But really, the devil is not your worst enemy. If you don't know yourself, you can be your own worst enemy. You don't need his help. Praise God. But anyway, God does not intend for you to be inwardly saved and stay the same outwardly. There is a change that takes place in your life. And he says here, my son, give attention to my words. And we brought this out, that in the Hebrew, this word means to sharpen, be alert, pay attention to his words. Incline your ear to my sayings. He's saying, make every effort that whenever the word of God is preached, be present. Be present. And then he goes and says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So he's saying, constantly keep the word of God in your view. In other words, don't take your eyes off the word of God, but keep them in your view. Amen. Then he says, and at the same time, keep them in the midst of your heart. And the word midst, again, is an unusual word. For the translators to use the word midst, I don't understand that, but I do know the Hebrew meaning to this word. It means to sever. And so he's saying that the heart has to have a distinction to it, a separation to it. And so the word of God, when it comes into your heart and life and begins to work on the inside of you, it begins to purge you of things that are not of the Lord. And it's only through the word of God that that can be accomplished. And so whenever we're focused on the word of God and we're making it our priority, then that word of God is going to do something to you inwardly. It's going to make a change on the inside of you so that it will manifest on the outside of you. Praise God. And a lot of times we don't know why other things appear in our heart and life, but I got news for you. Even if bad things have happened to you, even if bad things happen to you, know this one thing. It was not God's doing. It was either your neglect or the adversary saw an open door to come at you. But when it comes to God, he's always in the position. If you want to talk about the sovereignty of God, he is sovereign in his love and commitment to you. And he's not moved by your works. He is moved by your needs. He loves you. He wants to see you succeed. That's the love of God that wants to promote you no matter what shape you get into. God's there for you. Know that much, if anything else. Praise God. And so he says, for they are life to those who find them. Notice he says that something that the word does in your heart brings life to you. Are you following me? They are life to you and health to all your flesh. Boy, why don't we all succeed when it comes to healing? I'm glad you asked that question because I'm going to answer it. Praise God. And he says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And the word issue there is a very interesting word. In the Hebrew, it's called a geographical position or a location. So I began to wonder, well, it tells me that I have perimeters in my life. And evidently, the Word of God keeps me within the boundaries that are approved for my life. And if I violate those boundaries, then I begin to start trespassing. And so I know that the Word of God then does something to my heart to where I will know the boundaries of what is good for me. And also with that understanding of a geographical boundary, you also realize that in that geographical location, you found direction. Isn't that nice? You know where you belong. You know where you belong. Amen. It's good news. And then he says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Oh, boy, I wish I had time to go into that one. And put perverse lips far from you, and let your eyes look straight forward. One of these days, I'm going to teach on verse 24 in more detail for all of you, because I know what this verse is referring to, but it'd take too much time to capitalize on that. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. And that one puzzled me for a long time till I finally found the meaning of what it was referring to. It means your gaze or your focus. The gaze or your focus. Gaze, you're gazing at something. It's your focus. And he says, ponder the path of your feet. Pay attention to where you're walking. Because if you want to stay within the perimeters of the boundaries that belong to you, then you have to pay attention to where you walk. And he says, ponder the path of your feet, where you're walking, and let all your ways be established. Don't constantly change directions. God does not flip you around in a whole bunch of different directions, because that brings confusion to your life. When God begins to work in your life, he puts you in the place you belong, and he gives you direction, and he gives you focus, and he keeps you going in that one direction. And I'm going to tell you, the most successful people on planet Earth find a focus, find a direction, and by gosh, they walk that path and you can't hardly move them. Now, I'm not saying all good or all bad, but both. You know, and so they just keep their focus. They keep going forward. They don't digress. They don't rescind. They don't move away from. They keep their focus. And it's all because they keep their eyes on the Word of God. They listen to it very carefully. They are consistent with hearing it so that they don't forget it. Amen. Praise God. And so then in Proverbs 4, he talks about the effect of the condition of the heart. Now listen, when you're looking at the issue of your heart, you are determining what will come out of, and I want you to get a hold of this, you are determining what comes out of your inner man. Did you guys know that? When you're dealing with the issue of the heart, when you say, but God knows my heart. Well, I don't know about you, but I know your heart. Oh, you think you do. Well, I know your heart on this basis. The fruit you bear. People don't like to hear that. God pulled that on me. Because I didn't know some issues that were in my heart until he set me down one night and I was praying and I was pouring my heart out to the Lord and he said, you don't like your fruit. Well, of course I don't. He says, well, I can do something about that. I can change something on the inside of you so that you won't bear that again. Did you know what fruit is? It's what shows up on the tree. Have you ever walked up to a tree that had no fruit and say, drop your fruit in my hand? What did you expect that branch to do? Pop out a fruit? No, that fruit is already on the tree. Are you following? That fruit is already on the tree. Why? Because that's what produced on the inside of that tree, that fruit. It comes out. That's what it says. That's why Jesus said, according to Matthew chapter 7, he says, you'll know men by their fruit. Well, I never knew that that statement meant you'll also know their heart. Oh my gosh. Boy, did I put my... John, you're the one that made me say that. So with that thought in mind, let's turn over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. But according to Matthew, Mark 7, and let's go to verse 1. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they had received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper, vessels, and couches. And coaches or something, whatever that is. Then the Pharisees, scribes ask him, why do you disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching of doctrines of the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other things, such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is dedicated to the temple, and you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your traditions, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. And when he had called all the multitude to him, he said to them, right in front of the scribes and Pharisees, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, we read that over in Proverbs chapter 4. Let him hear. And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you thus also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these things come from within and defile the man. Notice what he said. From the heart they come. From within the heart they come. You know something? One thing you can tell whether a believer is moving onward in the kingdom of God, when he calls himself a Christian and he lives according to the parameters of God's word that are lawful for him. When a believer calls himself a believer, and yet he has a tendency to want to violate the issues of the heart of God, where is his conscience? Now I'm going to meddle in. Now, with that in mind, turn over to Proverbs 23, and we're going to look again at verse 7. We covered this once, but it's all right to cover it again, because the Lord told me to cover this for some reason. I don't understand. In Proverbs 23, look at verse 7 again. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. This is a very interesting word, and I've shared it with you before. The word literally means to act as a gatekeeper. Now, this is what finally caught my attention. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Or I'll put it this way. The way you think makes up your heart. The way you think makes up your heart. Now, listen to me. The heart is the channel through which the life of God in our spirits reaches the rest of our being and life. You want me to say that again? The way you think, because this is one way we can word this, for as a man arranges the way he thinks in his heart, that is his heart. Because it said that is him. That is your heart. And see, I never caught that before, but it finally dawned on me, the Bible is very obvious, the word spirit and the word heart are two different things. And so I was challenged with this fact that the way I think is what makes up the issues of my heart. The center that I'm focused on. And so the way you think makes up your heart. The heart is the channel through which the life of God in our spirits reaches the rest of our being and life. By their fruit you will know that person. Matthew 7. Our spirit can be full of life. Listen, your spirit can be full of life. I never could figure out why believers can be so full of God, so full of life, and you wake up one day and you find that they have departed from the faith. They're no longer doing what they're supposed to do as a believer. Why is that? Well, our spirit can be full of life, but the condition of our heart can keep that from becoming a reality. Do you want me to say that again? Now, we're talking about the issue of our heart. What is our? It's made up of how you think, your thought processes, Kenneth Hagin, Lonnie was just saying, Kenneth, he just heard a message on Kenneth Hagin. And how did you word that, Lonnie? Okay, say that a little louder so everybody else can hear it. Stand up and say it to the people. Use that anointing on that word there, brother. I didn't mean to get your bones moving.
No, Brother Hagin, and he said this as long as I can remember, but I heard it just fresh. The way you think is the way you believe is the way you're going to act.
Yeah. Amen.
So again, you've got to get this. Our spirit can be full of God, but the condition of our heart is our problem. That can keep from becoming a reality in our life. That's well, they hear the word of God. Why are they doing that? Because they don't have a spirit problem. Thank God that God performed that. Or they'd have lost that. But they have a heart issue. They have a heart problem. If their thinking is not there. Losing anything that God gave us at salvation is not a reflection of the condition of our spiritual life, but the condition of our heart. How we're thinking. I'll say that again. Losing anything that God gave us at salvation is not a reflection of the condition of our spirit, but the condition of our heart. Salvation does not change your heart can. Salvation does not change your heart can. Boy, if we get a hold of that. Now, it's impossible to participate in what God has done for us if our heart changes. Yeah, you guys are all here. I know you are. A little skinny in between here, but I'm not trying to make those thoughts obey me. I am bringing those thoughts in line with what Jesus' obedience has already provided. Did you hear that? I'll say it again. I'm not trying to make those thoughts obey me. I am bringing those thoughts in line with what Jesus, now listen to me, what Jesus in obedience has already provided for me as my example. Amen. You got that? How do I keep from allowing those thoughts to control me? Well, first of all, if you will turn over to Ezekiel 36 and give you a little more insight before we get into how can I keep those thoughts from controlling me. Boy, you guys are asking great questions. Man, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have nothing to preach on. Ezekiel 36. And let's go to verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh. Now, I couldn't figure out what he meant by a heart of flesh, but he meant a heart that would be suitable for my flesh. Yeah. And a stony heart is not suitable for my flesh. Now, he said a new heart. If I understand the heart is a way that I process things in my thinking, so my heart is made up of my thinking, then what he's saying here, I'm going to give you a new way of thinking. And it's going to start with putting a new spirit within you. That was prophetic. That was future. That's what the prophets longed to look into, our dispensation. And it's called the dispensation of grace. Too bad the nation of Israel did not get a hold of their Redeemer when he visited them. They will, yes, they will. But literally, he will show up. But a Jew today, they reject him as their Messiah. Why Christians want to revert to Judaism is still beyond me. And when I ask them why you're doing that, they say, well, I'm getting back to my roots, but they never found their root. So how are you going to revert back to Judaism? You have to leave the root that they're looking for. It's craziness. Craziness in the way they think. If you have wrong input, you're going to get wrong output. That's why Jesus said, it's not what goes in, it's how you process it and make it come out. That's why Jesus, when he dealt with me on the issues of what I was going through, he didn't sit there and condemn me or anything like that. He sat there and pointed his finger at me and said, what's wrong? Don't you like the fruit you're bearing? I'm the one processing it, not God. So I got to do something. What do I got to do? I got to look at the new way of how he says he promised a new heart for me, a new way of thinking, a new way of changing my heart. Hallelujah. That was hard, strong like a rock, into a heart that would be conducive and flexible for my person, my being. Glory to God. Whoo! Glory. Glory. Whew. Now, how do I keep from allowing those thoughts to control me in my thinking? Well, first of all, I was ministering to someone who was suicidal. And they were not spiritual. But I had to give them information on the basis of their understanding so that they would take action on what they knew to do. You couldn't go into a deep theological sermon on spirit, soul, body, tripart man and go into all this detailed stuff, you know. You have to keep it simple, Jack. You know what I mean? And I wrote down little steps that they could take. And the first thing I told them is, what are you listening to? It's what you pay attention. Because if you're listening to the wrong input, you're listening to wicked men that have a perverted heart. And what they do is then they begin to speak things. Matter of fact, turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. Because if we want to cover this subject, do we have time? Yeah, we do. Because there's no use me doing all this talking and not tell you what you can do about it. In Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse 5. 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Can you agree to that? But the counsel of the wicked are what? Deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie. They lie in wait for blood. And that's what I was trying to tell them. Their words are trying to get you to agree with them so you'll take your life. You'll shed your blood. You don't have to pay attention to what they're saying to you. You know, a lot of times why we receive what other people say to us? Because we have the same evaluation of ourselves. Am I right or am I wrong? Usually we'll sit and we'll condemn ourselves. And then some nutcase comes along and confirms what we're thinking. It's almost like they got our mindset. And they sit there and they add to that process and pretty soon you go, phew, because they want your blood. Well, what's motivating them? The darkness that they're walking in. And here you are in life, but now you're contemplating on ending it. Why? Because of what somebody's saying? The first thing I told them, you got to be careful of what you're listening to. I meant when you got born again, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Those old things should have passed away a long time ago. What are you carrying around your thinking for? And you know how you do that? Because you've got that carnal side of your thinking that contacts this natural realm. Those five senses keep reminding you of that thing happening in the past when you need to be looking back at the past of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and put your hope and anchor in what He provided for you. Hallelujah. And then you can neutralize what they're saying to you. Amen. You can shut them up. Amen. Now their voices don't just go away. They have a ticker tape to them. And they keep going on and on and on in your thinking. Ticker tape. There are some things we don't need to hear. Because that carnal side of our soul, our thinking, just wants to keep rehashing. We want to go into a roundhouse. And keep repeating their words. Now, how do I stop that? Well, in Mark chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, we're going to go there in just a minute. And it'll give us some insight there. But notice in Proverbs 5 and 6 here, it says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright will deliver him. Sometimes people don't even need to say anything to us. We'll come up with our own conversation.
Well, that happened to you because you're a nut. That happened to you because Jesus is really ticked off at you. That happened to you because you're not a man of faith. That happened to you because you are weird. You've been making mistakes and God is fed up with you.
So we'll come up with our own conversation. And all of a sudden, you run up to a believer thinking everything's okay, and he looked like he came out of hell. And you say to him, hey, what happened to you, Jack? I thought you were seated in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where He put us, in heavenly places in Him. We're seated there. Why did you leave?
Well, you don't understand. I don't want to.
That kind of fellowship is not conducive for your health. Because that's a wrong kind of heart. What is your heart? It's the way you think.
I know I should be doing this. But God knows my heart. He sure does. It's screwed up in the way it thinks.
I'm just being honest with you guys. You don't need to leave our church and go someplace else. So with that thought in mind, turn over to Mark 4. It's a process. Everything is a process. It takes time. It takes time. When you make mistakes, it takes time to heal it up. It's not no one-shot thing. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure, measure, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. That's not even in any text. I'm going to read it to you out of the Greek. And He said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you measure, pay attention to this, it will be measured to you. So if there's a measure you're hearing with, that's a measure that you're going to reap. If it's evil and wicked and it has a measure to it, you'll reap that if you hear it. If you pay attention to it, you will receive it. Then he goes on to say, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And he's talking about somebody else speaking something in a measure. Let's say it's evil to you. In that measure, you receive that measure. And guess what? If that measure is really not a part of you, guess what? You've inherited that measure and now it will be added to you. You guys got it? Thank you, Lord, for showing them what I wanted to get a point across. When you allow people to speak something into your heart and life that will destroy you, that measure of destruction, it might not even be you're doing anything to bring yourself to destruction. It's just their opinion to you. You receive it. You receive the measure. And guess what? When you receive that measure, more will be added to it. It never stops with just a little bit. Satan doesn't quit with a little. You guys hadn't figured that one out by now. He did one slam dunk after another. So you have to be careful what others say. Now with that thought, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I only got one more place we're going to go and we're going to quit. But I hope this helps you. It sure is helping me. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you he had made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh my gosh. You mean there was no boundaries in this guy? None. In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. I've been seated in heavenly places. There is a position that God has put me in. He has made me in that position. Whether I'm a little man on the toe of the body of Christ or I'm the head of the body of Christ, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. We're all seated equally in heavenly places, far above all principality and powers and might and darkness of this world. And we have been seated there to do the very thing he wants us to do, to be what he wants us to be while we're walking on this planet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Tired of listening to that old junk all the time. Sovereignty of God. Better put the sovereignty in the right place. He's sovereign when he said he'll back me. Whoo, glory to God. Glory to God. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that's my final place we're going. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Whoo, one of my favorite passages. Whew, are you ready? Get ready. I love it when I'm in war with my adversary because I'm on God's ground. I'm on God's term. I have God's armor. Whew, I have God's backing. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of the warfare of us are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity for the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about where the real warfare is found. It's not according to what is happening in this natural. It's according to what's in the mind of men, in the mind of people. And we have been educated. We have been taught according to this realm, this world. And I got news for you. According to this realm in this world, if we were indoctrinated by a principality of power that ruled our region and we became a product of, when we got into Christ Jesus, glory to God, Paul said, I got news for you. You have a position in Christ that your natural mind doesn't have. That position in Christ, hallelujah, has given you the ability to take the Word of God as a weapon and use it against the part of your soul that wants to down talk you, that wants to rob you and destroy what God is trying to build in you. And you can take that weapon, which is the Word of God, and say to your natural thinking, listen, you reasoning, listen, you thoughts, I got a new way of producing in my heart now. I got a new heart in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. You're not going to feed me anymore negativity. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now we're going to take communion. This is a good time to take it. Because there's probably a lot of us saying, I need to do some repenting. Glory to God. I have the mind of Christ. I'm His workmanship. Created. That word workmanship in the Greek is poimen. It means you are God's entire creatability. It was put in you. Yes. Woo! And you think I'm going to run around with fruitless nutcakes? Forget it, Jack. I ain't going to take my righteous standing and give it back to the enemy in no way, no shape, no form. I want to stand before God, and God said, I thank you, son, that you removed all the handles on your life that the adversary could have taken hold of. Now, what we're going to do this morning, predicated on my message, that's why I wanted communion. We're going to have communion with ourselves this morning. We're going to do some changing. Because listen, you're not what you are in God because of you.
That's right.
And if you think you are, you need to repent of that.
Yeah.
You are what you are in Christ because of what He did. And sometimes we just need to repent. We need to quit agreeing with what somebody else says or what our previous self-image said. That old man died. When you got born again, he died. God wants you to quit going to the graveyard and having a communication with Him. Now, if I went to a graveyard and one of you had found out that I visit the graveyard to talk to the cadavers there, right away you'd think, I wonder what relatives he's got in the grave. What if I didn't have any relatives? And that the grave I was going to was one that I was not in. Called self. You know what you guys would think? Why is he doing that? He's a nutcase. I am. But we do it all the time. We got to stay out of the graveyard. Now, there are many of you here that down-talk yourself. So much so that God can't put some uplift in you. We need to repent of that. Go ahead and receive the elements and give them to the people. And pass it to the person next to you first, and then take yours. And it'll go quicker that way. But listen, are you guys picking up on what I'm saying? You know what? There's some things in my life that I had to deal with in my thinking that was not right. How many of you ever had a fear in your life? You have to work that thing out of you. And the only way you can do it is you've got to think right and use the Word of God through your mouth. It says the mouth of the righteous is what delivers us. We got to speak over them thoughts. Somebody said, well, what do you do with that ticker tape going on the inside? You get your Bible out, you get scriptures out, and you start quoting scriptures and you drown that ticker tape out. You start speaking the Word of God. Did this help you today? The heart is made up of how we think. And if your thinking is not right, your heart will not be able to be the channel through which your spirit is contactable. It'll create a dam there. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said that he is so clear as to where his thinking is now. He said, when I give you the gospel, I don't give it to you in such a way that it stops you up. Because he was referring to being stopped up. He said, no, when I give you the gospel, there's a freedom, there's a flow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for Paul. What a man of God. If it wasn't for him, the other 11 would have never gotten out. He kicked them out of the nest. Because he tried to mix Judaism with Christianity. Because you shut down the mind of Christ. He speaks to us one way in his Son. Do you know that, people? Did you know the voice of God in your heart is through his Son only? It's not through the Old Testament any longer. It's been done away with. It's through a Son, in a Son, one way, in a Son. If it was in Jesus, then Jesus will confirm it's in you. That was a divine transfer. Did you guys know that? He gave a perfect sacrifice, which was his body and soul, his carnal mind. He gave it on the cross. And when it died, the minute his spirit left his body, that carnal mind that received the sins, the torments, the things that you and I experience now, remained in that carnal mind, that carnal part of his soul that died. That's why he always spoke in the second person from the cross. Second person. My God, why hast thou forsaken? That's why he went into agony in the garden, because his carnal mind never gave in to sin, didn't really understand why he had have to go through what he had to go through. But his carnal mind did surrender and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then when he hung on the cross and said, it is finished, and he gave up his spirit, his carnal mind, and his body perished because of our sin. What a Redeemer. What a Redeemer. What a Lord. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. I love the transfer. Hallelujah. It cost him everything. It cost him everything for us to redeem us. Hallelujah. Now, he left us in these bodies, and so our soul is still made up of the carnal mind. But he had to take that death of his carnal mind for an example for us to follow. He's a prototype. And so through his obedience, we can do the same thing. As his mind, his physical mind, incurred the death with the body, then we can honestly say we have scripture now that tells us very clearly that the carnal mind cannot know God, nor can it give us any information about God. It can only know God to a limited degree, but it cannot cross over into spiritual life. They'll only be religiously inclined and not spiritually transformed. Thank God my carnal mind inside me, it now has a spirit that can order my new way of thinking. Let that new heart rule me. Isn't that great? God, that's so great. I know how it works now. So with that thought in mind, close your eyes and talk to Jesus. And say, Jesus, show me where my carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, tries to rule me. Give me discernment on how to recognize when he talks so I can shut him up. And Lord, right now as I stand with these elements in my hand, you brought an understanding of what it meant, of what it means to die to the old man and put on the new. Help me to put on the new. Are you guys ready? In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. And I'm going to tell you, when you understand why he did that, his body was not broken. It remained intact. And so this bread symbolizes that we are to remain intact, and our carnal mind can divide us. Yeah. And so let's now put it under the loaf, the bread. Then he took the cup, which is a symbol of his blood. And he said, the shedding of my blood is a cleansing agent from that sin and death. Your outer man will no longer rule what your inner man has been given. Make peace with God, with yourself. Drink the wine. Glory. 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 Amen. Amen. My mind is telling me right now my angels are being working on my trees. That wind out there sounds bad. Mike, did you have something? Okay.
A little something I want to share with the body of Christ about Pastor Butler and Pastor Cook, who got us off the hook. Amen. You have to sit down if you want to. You have to see if you want to.
No, I'm going to stay up here. If it's bad, I'm going to slap you.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I used to be a karate teacher.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember I used to be a karate student, too.
Yeah.
Just wanted to let you know.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay. And 3:1:16, the Lord just put something in my heart for Pastor Butler and Pastor Cook. And
maybe I better go sit down.
And I wrote this 3:1:16 at 10:15 a.m. And I've been shaking like a leaf all morning. Not giving it. Pastor Cook and to Pastor Butler. It's a poem the Lord gave me. The title of this poem is Look. It says, to Pastor Butler, to Pastor Cook, God's great men of his holy book. They read and pray God's word each day, teaching you and I the perfect way, walking in God's love and holy book every day. They never fade and went the other way. They are steadfast in preaching and teaching us of the Lord's perfect way. The Holy Spirit led and guided them in every way. They fill themselves full of God's word and prayer every day, leading the flock in the Holy Ghost way. Yes, they pray and preach and teach us to reach the word of God so we won't be led away. The love they display, you know you're okay, because they are doing it by the Holy Spirit whom shows them the way. Preaching, reaching our hearts in each and a godly way. These men, the men of God, put before us preaching and teaching us in a most humble and Holy Ghost way. Lord, giving glory, do they display the love of God in Christ in every way. Let us thank God for the word and the love they display, always teaching us to read the Bible and to pray. What great men they are, behold us today. They would not be doing it if it were not for God's way. The anointing on them will never go away, for they seek the word, they seek the Lord and do it his way. For when it's over and done and time to go home, in the victory they won, teaching the word of God to all that come. When we are all home with the high priest and faithful ones, we will see and hear the Lord God Almighty cry out and say, "You two men of faith whom did it my way, come sit beside me for a while, for I have a few more words for you to say. The love of my Father and I you openly displayed. Come with me, receive your reward today." The Holy Spirit said, "You both were awesome in saving my people lives each day. Come see your reward that awaits you both today. It's my joy that you receive today for the love and joy you both displayed. In power and in might, this is my delight to honor you both in heaven's sight. Come with me. Dad is waiting to see you both in this open love you both displayed. For many were saved due to you both open display. The Lord both spoke each day. I heard you pray that led the way, your loving care each and every day. Blessed are you both in my presence today. Come, come, draw near to me. We have a lot to talk about of the love and works you both displayed. Dad wants to thank you both in each in such a grateful way of the love and truth you both showed each day. Thank you both, but there's much more to say. But there's no hurry, we have forever to talk about the works you both displayed. Come, Dad, waits to see you both today. Come, heaven's watching you in your delight today. Come.
You got something you want to say? No? Well, thank you, Mike. I don't know how to answer that, you know. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll stand up. Thank you, Mike. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Most of all, I thank you for leaving us communion. Yeah. The way we commune today with each other, with ourselves. Father, I think that a lot was accomplished in the hearts of your people individually and just being obedient to what you've asked us to do today. So, Father, now as I dismiss them, Father, if there's anybody here that has never received Jesus as their Savior, we would love to give them the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God. Anything else should have been covered in the communion, but Father, salvation is so important. So if you're speaking to a heart to come in, we're here to greet them and welcome them. And with that said, God bless you. Have a good day.